What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Press the music.
Here we go.
Wind Down with Janet Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Press the music.
Press the music.
Janet's had one of those kind of days.
I'm just ready to start. So I have a special wind down today because she actually wants to introduce herself.
Okay, hi everybody. It's me. My name is Sarah and I don't have a ring. So let's just get that out of the way before we go any further. Happy Monday, everyone. I'm wearing pink.
You're wearing pink and your adorable sweater and your jeans, but I'm still noticing no ring on your finger.
There are plenty, but not one on the finger. We just can't figure it out.
So poor Sarah. You guys obviously know she's been dating the same man for 6 years, not months, not weeks, years. And she gave him an ultimatum that if he did not give her the ring by the new year, she was going to leave him. She does not have a ring.
She called her bluff.
And she's still with him.
He called her bluff.
Here I am.
And here you are. So I feel like Sarah had to come on the show because so many people, you turned off your comment section on Instagram.
And it's not that I'm like scared or anything, because I feel like a lot of people were like coming into my DMs hot. And I was like, listen, I was at a wedding for someone else. I got 87 comments on a picture of me and Ty of them telling me how many days I have left. I'm like, I can count. I know too. Like, I'm also wearing fur and like my hair looks really good. It would be nice if somebody told me you did. But I'm like, why is everyone like coming at me? I don't know.
Because you get like everyone listens and they're investing. And they're invested in the fact that you had 8 more days to have a ring on your finger. Oh, you had 2 at that time?
I was at a wedding and I'm on the dance floor and like your text. I'm getting all these texts and people are like, Sarah, like your Instagram. And I was like, I know. I look really good. And it's like, no, like you need to go see the comments. And I was like, I mean.
Well, and then I felt bad because when it didn't happen
on
New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still giving hope that maybe New Year's Day, but when it was January 2nd, I went to your page and so many people were DMing me, emailing here at iHeartRadio and being like, what happened with Sarah?
I mean,
people go to your page just to see if there's a ring on your finger.
And I didn't want people to like, I hate when it's like, I'm getting so many DMs. Like, I feel so bad for you. I'm like, listen.
You feel bad.
I don't want your pity.
No, I'm like, I'm in Cabo. I'm doing absolutely great. Thank you. But like,
you had a little meltdown.
No, I had a meltdown for sure. But like, it could be worse. And I'm like, don't feel bad for me. Like, thank you for feeling bad. But like,
have you brought it up with Ty?
Okay. Amazing question, Mike. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
So that was my New Year's, like, not resolution, but that was my, like, okay, January 1-2. Like, when we got back to LA, I was like, I'm not bringing it up. Like, I'm just going to let it ride. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about it. You're really the only person I think I've talked about it with. Because, like, my sisters, no one's, like, called me. We just, like, have not spoken.
Well, we talked about it. Yeah. Because we went to an event together a couple days ago. And I said, look, it's the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about it. And then I don't want to talk about it again until you want to talk about it. So she basically said that she had a conversation with Ty and said,
I was like, I'm not bringing it up. Like, I'm done. Like, because I had, like, a couple meltdowns and I'm not. Can you tell? I don't have meltdowns.
Sarah doesn't cry. She's my only girlfriend that doesn't cry.
I'm not a crier. I'm not like I flip out, but I had like a full meltdown and I was like, get it out of your system, let it happen, and now we're done. Like, we're just, we need.
But here's the question that I asked her in the car. I said, done until when? Done until April? May?
I thought about that.
Okay, you thought about it?
I think I can't set like a time.
I love it.
I can't.
What if, like, it's November of this year?
No, because what I told you is...
No, don't put your finger in my...
Because it's going to be like what I said. Like, okay, in case everyone forgot, I'm a Scorpio. And until I really feel like I have to use that stinger, I can't just, like, be done. Because when I'm done, I'm done.
I see what you did there.
I know. So, like, that's why I was like, I could tell I wasn't ready. Like, I wasn't really ready to walk away. But, like, who knows? I feel like I just have to let it ride, and then it's just gonna, like, happen. And, like, God forbid for him, like, he'll never come back from that. If he
gets that's
stung.
The thing. Like, when you're done, you are so done. You don't talk to them again. You don't look in the direction, and you just shut your heart
and
off.
And that's why I don't want that to happen to him. And I really don't think it will. But that's why I was like, I'm not gonna set a date. I'm not gonna set a time. It's just gonna be like a thing.
But here's the deal: we're planning a November wedding.
I mean, he knows.
So how is that gonna happen?
I mean, listen.
Wait, what?
She wants a long sleeve. Long sleeve November wedding.
Stunning.
Yeah, exactly. So long sleeve November wedding. I mean, that's what she wants.
That's not sleeves. That's just lace. Sheer lace. That's not really sleeves.
Sorry, she's referencing a photo in the room of a girl wearing a wedding dress and she had sleeves on. But no, that's what she wants.
Like,
she wants sleeves.
I could get things done.
Look, I'm not going to talk about it until June, because I think by June, if you're not in her face, if you're not engaged by June,
things will be moving.
Things will,
because listen,
you're moving to Nashville basically with Mike and I in June.
Come on.
I mean, a lot of people are going there, so it kind of seems like sense, but.
So what do you want to say to everybody out there right now that is blowing you up?
That, thank you. I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for caring.
Well, no, because I understand
that they care.
Like, hello, I care about things that are going on in people's lives that I don't know. But I think that people were more like frustrated, and it was like, look, I'm still standing, I'm still breathing, I'm okay. I chose not to leave.
But I felt embarrassed for you.
No, and you know what's
weird?
And
that's what, like, made me mad. I felt like you asked for what you wanted and he didn't give it to you. And I feel like that's super disrespectful.
It definitely hurt my feelings more than anything. Like, my feelings were hurt, but I wasn't really embarrassed for other people. I was more embarrassed for, like, my family, like you, like for people who, like, really knew what was going down. Does that make sense?
Well, and all the listeners too. I mean, it's kind of a slap in the face.
It was, but I was more embarrassed, like, being, like, with my sisters and them knowing how badly it wants. Mike's just like, yeah, killed me.
No,
I did like that you said though, when you guys, like, addressed it and how you were, like, kind of, because you do think like Ty, even though everyone's like, that's not true. You're like, no, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot that you said, I believe.
Yeah, and I don't think Ty's this kind of guy where he would, out of spite, not do it because of the publicity behind it. But, you know, I don't think he even considers that.
I don't think
so. That's not the equation. But I'm just saying that because I could see some men being like, no, just because you brought other people into this doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually not going to for that reason.
Yeah.
But you told him what you wanted, and that just makes me angry. So that's just my thing.
Well, look, basically now it's like, get the fuck in or get the fuck out. Sorry. But really, like, in real true life, it's like,
yeah, you're at that age.
Or let's go.
It's time.
Ready Player Two. I don't know who Player Two is, but I'm gonna go out to find him.
Whoa.
No, I'm saying, like, if he's gonna be like that, you know.
Hey, girl. No, I'm proud of you. I love that.
Ready Player Two. Isn't that the movie?
It's Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Great movie. But you're Player One. So
I need a player two.
So spot on.
And
we've
been playing for quite a long time, but, like, you know, he knows. You know.
Well, we're very happy to have you on the show.
Always
today.
Happy to have
I'm
you on
so
the show.
Happy to be back. It's just family.
You are our family.
Yeah.
And we're going through a lot right now. Mm-hmm. Michael and I are actually fighting in this moment.
Why am I?
We're putting on
this?
A professional safe face.
No, I can feel it. Trust me.
in the room right now?
You guys made Mark leave.
I'm not even looking at you because I'm still angry at you.
She hasn't made eye contact with me.
I'm not going to lie. I'm really
so
scared.
So far since we've been
here. I am a professional and I'm a great actress.
I know you are. I know you are.
That's why.
No,
yeah.
Hi. I'm scared.
Can we bring up what we started to talk about? Gina, look me in the eye.
I'm not looking at you because I'm still pissed off at you, so I'm not going to look at you. So
can we discuss what we started talking about when Sarah, when you were over yesterday or the other day about the Kate Hudson thing?
Oh, yeah. Mike really wants to talk about this.
I really want to talk about this.
He's like...
The fact I've been stewing in this.
He's literally stewing. I heard him say, what the F-bomb? You're welcome, Easton. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So it's a lot going on.
Michael got real upset because our friend Leslie...
She sent us like a screenshot of people's tweet that said, Kate Hudson opens up about raising her daughter, Rainey, with a genderless approach. Her daughter with a genderless approach.
Did you read the article, though? Did you read more into it?
No.
About what that means? Because sometimes genderless
say,
might mean...
yelling at me, can you guys just tell me what that means?
Well, that's the thing. I think...
Okay, go ahead.
No, because maybe they're genderless as in, hey, we're going to, like, for example, Leslie. Leslie bought Jolie a lawnmower and said, I don't buy gender, like, I don't buy gender appropriate things. So for Jolie, she bought her a lawnmower. And then maybe for Jace, she'll buy him a broom set. So maybe that is all, as far as she's going. Maybe because that's genderless. Or is it genderless as in you can maybe if they're going farther, whereas in you can be whatever.
What was the
whatever
quote?
That is?
Like, did she say, what did she say?
So did you read the article?
No, I didn't read the article. I saw enough. I saw right. All I needed to see.
But is it?
I can't read it. It's on.
Is it, was it something where she said, you know, you can be a male or a female? Is that genderless? I guess I'm confused. What?
I think there's a difference here where it's not talking about... Remember when we had Justin and his wife on, Baldoni?
Well, that's what I'm referencing,
talking about,
yeah.
They're talking about feminism, which that was about equality. Mm-hmm. So that's different. Genderless? I feel like that's just... It explains itself. Like, genderless. And even if it's about something as surface level as toys, it's like, what? So you're going to purposely go out of your way and say, here, Jace, here's some Barbies.
So she said that she's not going to let her kid, or no, I guess at
Amy,
this point.
Amy, go ahead. I think you're reading it right.
Yeah, I think at least we should have the facts.
Yeah.
Might be nice.
And then you can interpret it however you want. So she says, we still don't know what she's going to identify as. And she said, when pressed during the interview about whether raising her new daughter was different from raising her two boys, it doesn't really change my approach, but there's definitely a difference. I think you just raise your kids individually. Like a genderless approach, she continued. I will say that right now, she's incredibly feminine in her energy, her sounds, and her way.
Because she's biologically a female.
Michael.
Oh, Michael's going to get letters. Send your emails, too.
Wait, is
and
who?
Then she
Michael.
Said, it's very different from the boys. Now, I think that can mean, you know, like you don't automatically have to make the bedroom pink. You could let your kid decide what colors they like.
Right, like Jolie likes green.
Exactly.
That's her favorite color right now. So
I guess
she calls every color green.
What'd you say?
She calls every color green.
She does.
She doesn't know. So like, obviously though, what she's doing is by her kind of choosing to not do things like the little girl, she's going to be a girl. Wait, she is a girl.
She was biologically born as a female. She has female parts.
So let's say she's going to not buy pink or she's going to not do. So her daughter's going to grow up.
White,
obviously liking
whites
yellow,
and grays and black.
Or, yeah, that's what I'm a little.
Maybe blues. Why can't girls wear blue? Jolie has blue clothes.
Yeah,
Jolie
I have nothing against that.
No, I don't either. I'm just saying if she grows up. Okay, so like let's say you grow up only listening to like a certain type of music. You're only going to like that music. You get what I'm saying? So like
right.
By her saying like I'm going to let my daughter choose. Well, you're really not because you're not like. You're putting blue and
right.
White in front
now,
of her.
Okay. If it's not pink you know and you're going to paint a room blue, then you're saying, hey, yeah. Like blue.
What makes you so angry about this?
Because all of this talk about the sexual identity and everything, I get, people, they might not feel like the gender they are. I have no issue with that. But when it comes to a child and they're born and their biological parts are male or female, that is black and white. That is how your higher power, whoever you choose to believe in, science, evolution, God, whatever, that is how you were created. Biologically, scientifically created. So now all of a sudden it's, oh no, he was born with a penis, but you know what? Let him decide if he wants a penis. What?
A lot of people are going to disagree with you.
Please.
They will. And that's fine. And that's, everybody can be entitled to their own feelings and opinion. But as we progress, maybe as a human race, try looking at it maybe a little more openly or with a different perspective.
Okay, but let me ask you something. If, just like the whole topic we were talking about with paint the room pink versus paint the room blue. So if you have a son that's born and you say, all right, well, I'm not going to call you a boy. I'm just going to call you a child or a thing or an it or whatever. And aren't you really steering your son or your daughter in a opposite direction? Like they're not going to know what to identify with. They don't even know well enough until they're older. So what are you supposed to do when Jolie comes to us and we say, hey, you're a beautiful little girl. Oh no, I'm sorry. You're a beautiful little child.
Yeah.
And she wants to wear a dress. Oh, Jolie, you don't have to wear a dress. You can wear this.
If she wants to.
And she does.
Yeah, right. I think that's fine. I think it's very complicated.
I don't think it is.
That's my only question. Did she do this with her boys or is she just doing it with the girl?
Great question.
I'm actually wondering. Interesting, and I will do this, get this, so that you can, because I think that you have your opinion, everybody's entitled to it.
Absolutely.
I think if we had a parent in here that has a child that was biologically born a girl but identifies as a boy, then you could understand what they go through or the child.
So time out. I think that's different than what he's saying. Because what I heard you say that if for some reason, let's say Jace, obviously we're raising him as a boy mm-hmm. and we're calling him our beautiful little boy and mm-hmm. blues and all those things. But if he comes to us when he is 10 years old and says, Mommy and Daddy, I feel like I'm a girl, that you're not going to.
No,
I mean, you're going to love him.
I would love him no matter what.
That's what you're just saying. He's just saying to not persuade them in the very beginning.
Right, because if you don't treat them how they biologically are created from an early age, then they're not going to know.
Let me give you an example.
Let them make up their mind. If you don't, then you're making the mind up for them. Then
this is by the way, this is how he acts when we argue. So he doesn't like
I respect having an opinion. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw out an example that's a little, to the side.
Sure.
And then you guys can discuss it. So my little niece, Chelsea, who is, I just worship her. I love her. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, Chelsea, you're so cute. And she said, Auntie, I don't want to be cute. Mm-hmm. I want to be athletic.
Okay.
So that's not anything to do with gender, but like it really was thought provoking for me because she's so into gymnastics that she doesn't want me to go, you're so cute. You're so cute. She wants to be athletic.
She wants to be a badass.
But like
that's
I was
awesome.
A tomboy.
I love that.
Like I feel like,
yeah.
I am wearing a hot pink sweater right now. But like I feel like children are going to go through their own things, but like
let them
at
do
three,
that.
Four, five, six. Like, how old is this baby? 3 months old? 6 months old? Like,
yeah.
And they're not even going to go through it at that age. It's going to be
that's what I'm,
8, 9, yeah. 10, the
so
teenager.
So, like, if someone gets her a blanket, a pink blanket, is she just going to, like, give it away? That's what I'm confused.
Well, yeah, I think that part's confusing. Then also, where you're coming from, Mike, is you're also confusing the child of what they are right. and who they are. So yeah. You're not only in this day and age is who we are. I mean, I'm still figuring myself out. I'm still confused. I mean, not about my gender. And I can't even imagine how hard that would be to not identify or you know, have those thoughts of, I know I'm supposed to like a boy, but I like a girl. And so I can't even imagine that being torn like that and not understanding and not feeling things. But if, you know, again, your parents and we're not saying you can be whatever you want because then it's confusing. It's like, you are a boy. And if he comes to us later on and says that he thinks he's a girl, then that's his decision, not we're forcing it.
And just because society has stereotypes of boys in blue and girls in pink, what is wrong with that? Let the kid decide when they get older and they know. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's the way society's been for years. It's not a big deal.
Well, that's what it's like. It's not like we're in like the fifth, like it's not like
yeah,
if the little girl was like, Mom, I want to go play. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be weird. if she was like, mom, like, I want to be a tomboy. Okay. So then it's like, why not just let her get there?
I get that. But then I also think, Michael, if society, shouldn't some things in society change?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It shouldn't be like, well, that's how it is in society and this
is not. No, but I'm talking about things like that, like the colors or, you know, toys. If you want to buy different toys, fine. Am I going to buy Jace a pack of Barbies? No.
Why not?
Because he's going to play with G.I. Joes. If he doesn't want to play with them, he wants to play with Jolie's Barbies, fine. Fine. He can have that choice.
Okay, so you're making him.
But I'm choosing to raise my son as a son.
But if he comes to you and wants to be a girl, you would be okay with that?
Absolutely.
Because I can't even imagine having that.
I'm just confused.
Right.
That confusion inside.
I will say, to be open-minded, that maybe help people out there that are getting pissed off at listening to me say, go on this rant, is to Amy's point, maybe years down the road, society gets to a place where some psychologists and doctors get together and they write a book on how to raise a child genderless appropriately and scientifically, mm-hmm. where it's not, you're not forcing them in either direction, but it's truly somehow they figure out how to be neutral.
Like not depriving them of something or the other.
Right. Where it's like, hey, if you do this, if you get pink, you get blue or whatever it may be. Like maybe that can happen in the future, but then what do you do with names? Like her daughter's name is Rainy Rose. But yet she's genderless? Why don't you, like, what? You know, why don't you name her, I don't want to call it a girl. I don't want to call her daughter a girl. Name it a mutual name, you know, that could be either way. A Leslie. That could be male or female.
Can it?
Yeah. Really?
Leslie's not going to like you for that comment.
Leslie.
Sorry,
Nelson.
Leslie.
I mean,
We just met a girl named Michael.
Yeah, that's true. We did.
So, I mean, you know. Every child is going to have a name that can go either way.
I wonder if she's like actually taking it this seriously. Are we all just getting up in arms about nothing?
But it's not even about Kate Hudson, really, personally. It's just about this whole theme of society right now. And, oh, don't call my son a boy because let him decide.
We may have interpreted from her what was two sentence
That's
response.
What I'm-
Quite a lot.
Like, are we going way
But that's okay because you're having an interesting discussion about
right.
it.
Right. Again, it's not about her. It's about...
The takeaway, Michael, if you really listen to yourself, is that if one of your kids came to you, you're going to love them and accept them.
No matter what. Wouldn't matter.
And that's what everybody should hope for.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And how we're raising our children are their gender that they are right now.
That they biologically were born as.
I just really
the
want
way
to know
God
if she did
created. We believe in God and Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So the way God
All
created.
Right. Well, let's go to Open Fit. Getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done, right, Sarah, over there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Open Fit is amazing because it's bringing you something new that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. So you can lose the commute to the gym or my house, Sarah, because we always are working out. Basically, what this is Open Fit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your own living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. I always say you have at least 5 minutes in a day. Give yourself 10 to at least get in the shape that you want to get in. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. They have amazing trainers and classes. They have Extend Bar. They've got so much stuff. One of my favorite is the yoga class each week. You can even take an 8-week or 30-day challenge. OpenFit has changed the way I work out, and with my code JANA, you can join me. You can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use my code JANA and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, my listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text JANA to 303030. You will get full access to OpenFit and all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text JANA to 303030.
You mentioned the Extend Bar. My wife's really into the bar workouts, and she's ripped.
Oh,
my wife is ripped.
No, I know all the Victoria's Secret Angels do a bar.
Yeah, it is hot.
Not
and
like
it's
I
true.
Know them,
and
but I know they do.
So the bar, I really highly recommend.
Ooh. Okay, well, I'm gonna have to get on that one.
No bar needed, so you can do it at home.
Ooh,
unless it's a different kind of bar.
Okay. And you still don't have a ring.
I like to dance on bars.
Okay.
You know what's not smart?
Dancing on a pole.
That. And also job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the role you posted. But you know what is smart? is going to ZipRecruiter.com/Jana to hire the right person. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Jana. If you love the show your support to it and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Jana. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jana, J-A-N-A. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So want to know a little tidbit about ZipRecruiter?
Yeah.
So you know Dean, that we all know, Dean Ungler from The Bachelor?
Yeah, yeah.
He has five friends that work for ZipRecruiter.
Oh, my gosh.
And they all say it. They absolutely do find you the best people.
Oh, wow.
So it's
that's
like
awesome.
Sometimes, you know, if you want a good someone all to vouch for a company, Ask the people that work there.
No, I love that. By the way, Amy texted me and Michael about 2 weeks ago and was like, does Michael still want a motorcycle? And I'm like, oh, my God, babe, did you look at your text message? Holy moly. I think you're going to get a free motorcycle. And Michael's like, oh, my God. So
I was like, tell me I'm not going to get a motorcycle. Tell me I'm not going to get a motorcycle.
And
something we have to do or whatever.
And so then I'm like texting Tori. I'm texting Easton. I'm texting Amy, like trying to figure out. I'm like, she's like. Finally, she says, well, it's not, you're not getting a motorcycle. And I was like, I was just a guest. I was like, oh, I was like, that's a balloon plate.
Honey, where are we at with the motor? Well, today's a bad day to ask her.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's not too thrilled with the way our morning's going.
Where you're not getting a motorcycle. That's where it's at right now.
Today. That's where we stand in this minute. Right now. Maybe later today, depending on how the day goes.
No, because we have couples therapy after this, so we're for sure not talking the rest of the day. So.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'll take the kids tonight if you want to go get some rest.
Oh. What?
And by rest, I think he means out, so sure.
Yeah.
So Michael wants a motorcycle. I said...
Every guest that we've had on has pretty much shot it down. Boris, everybody else.
Literally everyone. When I say Michael
why?
Wants a
You're
motorcycle,
an idiot.
Why? The only person that says yes to a motorcycle is my friend Rachel, because her husband has a motorcycle. I'm just
motorcycles.
Yes, three. I'm just very fearful for the fact that when you do have a motorcycle, you're going to hurt yourself really bad, and then you're going to be the guy from the upside, which is fine, but I just don't want you to hurt yourself.
Great film, by the way.
So good. We just saw it the other night.
I loved it.
So good. What are your thoughts on a motorcycle, Sarah?
I mean, really, like
he's got two kids.
Not a shot in he's getting a motorcycle. I'm sorry. I went to work out this morning and this is my second matcha and I'm wearing pink. I'm just like all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Two kids that'll be super proud.
Wait,
so yeah, my dad's a badass.
I just have a question though.
He's got a
motorcycle.
Because
you know I like to be in the middle. Why? You just like, is it like the thrill or
I've
the excitement?
I've always wanted one. I couldn't get one when I was
playing football.
Younger and single because I was playing football and that's like would have been the worst thing ever.
Is there something we can replace it with? Like, do you want to go skydiving?
Yeah, another motorcycle.
Okay. What about video games? I'd allow video games back in the house.
Ugh.
I know. It pains me to say that.
That actually doesn't even entice
literally
me.
Literally pains
Ready
me.
Ready Player One.
Because I don't even have the time.
So when are you going to have the time to go ride a motorcycle?
Do you want it for like day to day or do you want it for like a random Sunday like after
random
church?
Random Sunday afternoon.
I'm fearful now because everyone's telling me how dangerous it is and how badly you can kill yourself.
Yeah, just like a car.
But I don't know. Maybe today I say, sure. Why don't you get a motorcycle?
Oh, my God. She doesn't
drive
do
off a cliff.
She don't.
That makes you Kevin Hart in the scenario, by the way.
Yeah.
Sure.
What if you guys go do that thing that they did?
No.
Paragliding?
I can't even parachute. Or what's that called? A parasail. I did that one time on spring break.
No.
And I was having a panic attack. Get me down!
No. I don't.
Screaming.
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
I feel like if you could replace it with something that would make you equally as aroused. Like
all right, 1967 Ford Mustang Fastback.
Okay, let's get him that.
Fine.
How do we do that?
It's fine. Deal.
Excuse me,
I don't know.
Anyone
Craigslist.
Listening
com?
Know how to get a 1967 Ford something? What is it? Fastback? Google it.
Sure, Google.
I like
but
cars.
Not, yeah, like next week. I mean, not next week. A couple years. Okay, so we have he's going to be calling in though. I don't know who he is, but apparently he's going to arouse us with a motorcycle. Ooh. I like it. Stay tuned. But before we get into a car accident in our motorcycle accident, we're going to brush our teeth with Quip.
I have one.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me all about it.
Okay, so my brother-in-law got them for my whole family for Christmas. I'm like dead serious. And I'm obsessed. He gave them to all of us for Christmas. They're like super cute. But you know, obviously, starting a healthy routine and sticking to it are two very different things. Inevitably, we all skimp on that full night of sleep, skip a workout or two or three or four, or brush our teeth.
Or 5 or 6.
Or 12. Or, this is my thing, brush our teeth with a tired old toothbrush, which is gross. We're not perfect, but we can do better. And Quip is a better electric toothbrush that can help. It has sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums, which I really need. And
I have sensitive gums too.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, they bleed.
Yeah.
God.
Okay. Like this. Well, you're not flossing enough.
But
I do.
I do too.
I'm like addicted to flossing. Yeah. No, but the reason I like this is because their brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule. Like, I think it's every 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months. $5. Yeah, 2 or 3. Yeah.
A friendly reminder for you guys that when it's time for a refresh, and it helps you stay committed to your oral health. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Jana right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/Jana.
And it's working for you.
No, I really love it. And they come in a bunch of different colors. And so I think Ty has blue, I have silver. And
I have
my
rose gold one.
Is the thing that comes over it. So when you travel.
I know. I love that.
I know.
And it sticks on your mirror too.
Yep. Ah, the best part. Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Here to weigh in on the motorcycle debate that is raging.
By the way, though, can you just, when he walked out of the room is when you actually said your thoughts on it. And I was like, funny how he said his thoughts after the 6'6" man walked out of the
Mike,
of the
I
studio.
Love you. I just don't get it. And everybody's different. I don't get motorcycles. I don't get that 1965 Ford thing
he goes,
you're talking about.
I don't get motorcycle guys.
I don't get motorcycle guys. I hear them go by my house and it's really loud and it's annoying. Motorcycle guys are annoying. I'm sorry.
They are loud and annoying.
They go by on the white line and we're all stuck in traffic and we all hate them. We do.
So a bunch of haters.
Anyway, joining us now is Dr. Don Vaughn, who has an angle on this. Dr. Vaughn?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Hey, Dr. Vaughn.
Good to be here.
All right, so what is your angle on this?
Yeah, I mean, my angle is that I don't have a personal angle, but I do have some science about it.
Okay,
which
good.
Is, you know, I mean, people have long talked about motorcycling and how they feel about it, but no one's actually been able to rigorously study if what riders report is real or if it's just something that people say. So we got a study funded by Harley Davidson to look at about 50 motorcycle riders, and we scanned their brains and took hormone samples before, during, and after riding and driving a car. And what we found was that riding a motorcycle actually decreased biomarkers of stress by about 28%. So that means that from before to after about a 25-minute ride, we saw that people actually showed a decrease in hormonal.
So does drinking
stress.
Wine. I don't like wine. So does right. Yeah. So does swinging on a swing.
There's
I
more.
Mean, or writing in a diary.
Let
or
the man
book.
Finish.
Okay.
Let the man
all
finish.
Right.
Dr. Vaughn.
Swing. Well, interestingly, driving in a car didn't show that. So I'm not sure swinging on a swing would either.
Maybe.
And look, I'm not here to advocate either perspective. I don't think anyone needs any data to tell you that riding a motorcycle is more dangerous than driving a car, and driving a car is probably more dangerous than sitting at home and getting on the internet. But, you know, if people want to make their own choices, there are some interesting mental effects we saw too, which are that while riding a motorcycle, there's actually a change in brain state. And the change in brain state looked like people were able to get more focused, presumably because they're focusing on the road and not on anything outside that's distracting them. They're able to focus and so you can immediately see a change in a brain state during about a 22-minute ride. So, you know, there are differences, and no one has studied it because it's not easy to study someone going 50 miles an hour on a motorcycle and scanning their electrical brain activity, but we were able to pull it off. And
yeah, you were able to find the only 50 people that haven't killed themselves yet on a motorcycle to be able to do this.
I think you might be underestimating the market size, but yeah.
Is there any reason to question this study since it was paid for by Harley Davidson?
Oh,
I think that's a great one. It's a really interesting point generally, because I love that the public thinks that scientists are these like objective robots who look at data objectively and that it's all fine. But you know, you look at drug studies, you look at the results that people get. Do you know who funds studies on drugs that are related to cancer and addiction?
Mm-hmm.
It's the National Institutes on. It's from the NIH, but it's the National Institutes on Drug Abuse. Mm-hmm. They have a particular agenda. They have things that if you want to get another grant, you better believe that we as scientists have a unconscious or sometimes conscious bias to find different results. It's also to say that generally, no, any scientist is trying to say you have objective data is either lying to you or trying to sell you something. What we did find, I promised them, I said, hey, you know, this is an academic study. Whatever I find, and I can publish it. So we happen to find these particular results. They're more like in the realm of facts. I don't know if they're necessarily good or bad. It depends on the kind of person that you are. So I can understand completely that some people have no interest in riding a motorcycle. That doesn't fine with me. And for other people, like, I don't know, you know, look, we're in the most stressful period of human history where you're constantly bombarded with information. Social media is out of control. And I think people do look for ways to modify their stress. So if it's swinging on a swing, go for it. If it happens to be hopping on a motorcycle, all right, that's the choice that you want to make. I'm probably the wrong guy to get in the debate about it because as just from a personal perspective, I'm a licensed skydiver. I get something that when I go into the lab and play with p-values and data for 10 hours a day, that just doesn't give me everything I need. So for me, getting and jumping out of a plane does, and that just works for me. But if I don't, it's just like if you don't get out and go to the gym, after a while, then you also feel stressed out. And not everybody feels that way. So there is no scientist has the answer for you. There is no like perfect life to live. All I'm interested in is everybody has a different avenue on their mental health and what works. And this one just hasn't been talked about or rigorously studied enough.
I respect that. You know, you're basically saying, hey, just like you skydive, it may not be the safest thing, but it's something that, you know, gets you centered and chill and relaxed. So riding a motorcycle, what? Yeah.
You know, well, look, it's so funny because my family for a while said, oh, don't, you know, I was talking about getting a motorcycle because I would drive in LA traffic to UCLA every single day and I would come home and I was so pissed. Mm-hmm. I get so angry. I'm like, I can't even leave the lab until 10 o'clock at night because there's so much damn traffic.
Yeah.
I'd be angry. And it was the craziest thing. But one day my family said, you know what? Why don't you get a motorcycle? And I was blown away because, look, I still don't. I don't ride because I didn't have time to take the course and make it happen. But what was so interesting was like, look, I'd rather take you and this, you know, whatever the changes and risks. I'd rather have you be happy and something that feels good for you. And so I just found it interesting that so many people report that, and a lot of people are skeptical. Fair enough that people say all sorts of things. You don't know whether to believe them or not. But there does seem to be something real about for some people. And it's a biased sample. These are people who are experienced motorcycle riders. It's not a bunch of people we trained up, so they happen to get this stress relief, and it works for them.
Well, I think that's fascinating. And I actually have something a little more important to talk to you about, though. Are you single?
Oh my!
No, taken.
Oh, because yeah. I'm looking at your picture right now. I'm like, you'd just be so great for Tanya Rad, but.
Yeah.
Cute little dimple, yeah. You know, like, like
smart,
yeah.
You know, smart scientist.
Some of that crap, but it has to be, you know, it had to be somebody who could handle me talking like a dork 95% of the time.
Well, good on her. But
yeah, you know.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts and your wisdom and your neuroscientology.
Scientology.
Yeah, you know, so. I just want everybody to have the facts. Make whatever choice works for you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Vaughn. Appreciate it.
Thanks, awesome. Dr. Vaughn. Bye.
So, where do we stand now? Does that change anything, Jana?
No.
No.
Because he basically said that whatever you like to do gives you, like him golfing. Go golfing.
Yoga,
golfing.
Running.
Yeah, whatever.
Eating.
That was the, and Harley Davidson paid for it. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You but don't what want if, it
But
to
why
really...
can't my thing be?
Duh, we already know that. We already know that you would love to ride a motorcycle. It's dangerous. Right. You have two kids. You have a family. But right now, sure, go ride off a cliff. I don't care.
I'm married to you. That's dangerous.
No.
Opposite, baby. Opposite.
Wrong bitch today. Not today. Sorry. Not today. Oh, no.
Can't.
I'm hanging up the headphones.
If you want to get a mic, just do whatever you want. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
So what was the important thing we have to talk about?
Why are you looking at me like that and eating your chocolate? I'm just
so nervous.
No, I'm annoyed with you today. That's all.
Why?
Because I apologize and do the right thing, and then you totally take away my apology in the car because it wasn't good enough for you. After he said, you know what, that really meant a lot to me. Thank you so much. And then you throw that in the car while we're in the car parking in the iHeartRadio garage about my BS apology. And I'm like, damn, that was a heartfelt apology.
I apologize for taking away from your apology. I do.
Jesus.
I do.
Marriage sucks.
Have we covered why you were apologizing in the first place?
You always just want to get the end.
I love
end.
When he goes there. I get scared, but
this tension is like, what I love about this show.
It's like a bundt cake. Cut it with a knife. You know, because like the center, there's no.
Well, I walked in and Sarah looked at me. And I was like, I hate my husband.
No, we all know I'm wearing pink. So I like stood up and like put my arms up and she just looked at me. I was like,
what'd I do?
And she comes over and she goes, I hate my husband. Okay, well, I was feeling excited, but should have worn my black.
Would you like to start, honey?
I mean, what is there? I apologize for coming back on your apology. Accept it.
What was it about, though? Mark wants to know.
I'm just curious why she was apologizing in the first place.
Jana's feeling a lot of stress and pressure right now because she's just busy all the time. Like, she always has content to shoot and social media stuff to post.
Supermom would be the word.
It's just she's doing everything and being a mom, being a rock star, and all that. Well, you know, now that I'm not doing the medical sales gig. This is my gig, and then other stuff that we're building as a brand together is my job as well, which a lot of things are in the infant stage, so there's only so much you can do, right? And so Jana's just feeling a lot of stress because a lot of the stuff immediately right now is up to her. And she just kind of feels like she has to do all the work sometimes and wants me to help out in other ways. And we still are working out communication where sometimes, you know, she might kind of unload on me or expect something from me when I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out this whole world, this whole influencer, entrepreneur, self-employed type of world. I've always been structured, you know, so this is
entrepreneurial. Is that the word?
Yeah.
I was fine with how he said it.
You were fine with how he said it? Okay, I was. That's fine.
It's one of those things. Of course you weren't. It's one of those things. Where...
So she's used to kind of being her own motivator and used to that, this whole world. I'm figuring out. So I don't always know what I might need to be doing or taking care of. And we were on a hike at Ryman the other day and we had a discussion about content stuff. And it was finally a good open conversation on educating me on why we need things. What we should be taking pictures for content. And so now I'm like, okay, thank you. Now I know. Now it's explained to me. Now I'm mindful when I'm at home or we're doing stuff, why we might need to take pictures or why we might not need to do certain things. Because before that, just saying, hey, we need content stuff. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't even know what the questions to ask. It's just you have the social media platform. I just assume you're taking care of it. And so... Which is wrong to assume, and instead of saying, I could have been saying, hey, what can I do? Explain this to me. I could have been more proactive on that front. But so it's been a lot of that, and Jana's felt a lot of pressure, and I just, again, while I'm still learning, I need to take a more proactive approach on helping out in different ways.
And I said something out of my pressure that I shouldn't have said that was not very nice. And not very nice. It's not that it wasn't nice. It just, I shouldn't have said it. And it's a big trigger for him. So
honestly, I don't have a issue saying what it was because I feel like nowadays with women growing in the world financially and everything like that, there are probably more husbands that or spouses that deal with this as males where their wives make more than them or they make the money or whatever it may be. And so her comment was she was so frustrated. She was like, well, I have to do everything. I'm the one making the money. And that's like an ultimate trigger for me ever since the beginning of our relationship, because pretty much from the beginning of our relationship was when I was retiring from football, making really good money. So that's always been something that weighed on me. And now when I felt like we were finally in a place where we're coworkers, we're doing stuff together, we're building this brand, we have so many different olive branches that we're putting out there and directions, and then to still hear that, that's such so validating.
I didn't say
of my
I'm
biggest
the
fear.
One making the money. I said I feel the pressure to make the money. That's what
you
I said.
I have to make all the money.
No, I have the pressure to make the money, like all to right. make the money, which I said to him.
Regardless of how you said it, we both know what the outcome was.
Right.
We both know how it made me feel.
Right. And which I said, I'm very sorry, but he says I have a very hard time apologizing.
Initially, you do.
Because I have a reason of why I say things.
Right. So, and right. And again, so because of our lack of communication, your reason behind saying things is because really you've just wanted me to help with more content stuff. You wanted me to help do some more research on some things that maybe we can set up for future endeavors, which again are things that I might not think of because I'm still new to all this.
Right. And for me, it's more myself. I'm very insecure. And so I put the pressure on me because if this doesn't work, then I'm the failure. And then I've just totally made him take a leap of faith to do all this stuff with me. And if this podcast fails, if our book thing falls apart, if our show docuseries falls, if all these things don't happen,
if Moms and Babes doesn't,
yeah, like if these things don't happen and I'm not successful, that means that we're not successful. So that's all the pressure on me. And that means that then we're both broke. And then he left a great job to do this. But if I can't build it because of my name, then we're screwed. And so that's all the pressure on me.
Yeah. It's a lot.
So I'm just like,
and it's like working together, living together, being together. New yeah. baby. Like there's a lot going on.
You know, what's really interesting though, to bring it all the way back around to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, is that you both are in a gender, old school society, gender mm-hmm. role reversal. And it is complicated. Mm-hmm. It is. No matter how many times people say like, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the being Mr. Mom. It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, and what made it worse today was I had a shoot today, a photo shoot at the house for some promotional thing. And we were having an issue with overloading the nanny. We don't want to make sure that, so we're kind of having an issue there. And so I said to him, hey, can the nanny take Jolie to the park? Because I can't have her here while I'm shooting this stuff. So, you know, I can have Jace while I'm doing the shoot, but then if you don't mind just putting him down, but all he hears is that his stuff that he was going to do was not important
because
I make the money that he, so that his time wasn't important. And I'm sorry that when I said that, that's what it made you feel. Cause that was not my intent at all
mm-hmm.
for you to feel that at all.
And I believe that it was just unfortunate timing because of what was said last night. And then this morning with it being a decision rant, like at the top of the morning, instead of something we discussed last night, it was, hey, you know, even though you said, hey, I can watch Jace while I'm doing a shoot, in my head, I'm in a corner. I'm like, you can't watch Jace while you're doing a shoot. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yes, I can.
Like,
I'm Superwoman. And I did.
Like, you don't have to. I'm like, I can take him. But then I felt like it was, regardless of what I had to do or didn't have to do this morning, I felt it wasn't even acknowledged. Like, it was like, it doesn't really matter how I read into it, which she didn't say and she didn't mean, but because of my fears and triggers, I read into it like, whatever you had to do, like, doesn't really matter right now. Like, I have to do this. I have to work. So basically, watch Jace while our nanny takes Jolie to the park, and that's what's going to happen. Where I'm like,
it was not my intent at all.
I'm not saying it was.
I know.
But that's where I went because of just recent events and just the way that panned out. I'm like,
so therefore, okay. To just wrap this up, I then apologize for how he felt when I made that comment and that we should communicate more. And then he really sincerely appreciated the apology. And then somehow we started fighting again in the iHeart parking lot garage on the way up. And then he said that my apology was BS, which makes me so angry because it's so hard for me to apologize anyways. So the fact that I did it from a good place and didn't say but afterwards or and afterwards, then when he said that, I was like, mother. Get ready, Easton. F*** her. Like,
we are so letting it out today.
Anyways, here we are.
I feel like this is therapeutic, though.
I don't think this will be the last of this discussion, too.
Well, we have couples therapy after this, so yeah, I'm just this day sucks.
Good times. Yeah. Well, on that note, we have a really interesting caller on.
Bring him on.
This show, man.
So this is Caitlin, and I will let Jana sort of talk a little bit about it, but she is from Love After Lockup.
We just need to get her on the phone because I have to ask her.
She's on.
Caitlin?
I'm here.
Hey, Caitlin. Yeah. So you're with the Wind Down Crew. It's me, my husband, and my girlfriend, Sarah.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
I have so many questions to ask you. So let me just start from the very beginning. You're dating someone that's in prison.
Yeah. How does that happen? I don't know. Not only was he in prison, but he was also missing a tooth. Totally not my thing.
I'm sorry. He's missing a tooth?
I don't know if you've seen pictures of him, but he's totally missing a bottom tooth, and I refer to it as a tooth hole. And it's just, you know, I've never been the girl that would A, date someone in prison, or B, that was missing a tooth.
How'd you meet him?
Well, so we met while he was incarcerated.
That means in prison, right?
Yeah. Okay. While he was in prison, close custody, he had a friend post an ad on the Craigslist.
Wait, you can do that from jail? You can go on Craigslist?
He didn't do it himself. His friend did it. And I'm literally sitting there on the couch one day, like, bored, just kind of, you know, looking for some cheap entertainment. Craigslist has ads for money, right? And I stumble across this picture, and I'm like, holy crap, he's cute. And that was about all she wrote from it.
Oh, my. So can I ask what he's in jail for?
He was in for possession and eluding. So the eluding was avoiding arrest.
So
how's it going now that you guys are with each other constantly?
Well, I mean, it's a world of difference going from 20-minute phone calls to 24/7 together. I'm going to tell you guys that much. We're adjusting. I mean, there were things that I don't think that I thought about and things that I don't think that he thought about. But getting out of prison alone is a huge adjustment. And then, you know, throw a girlfriend in that hasn't been there, you know, and he's not used to relationships. Like, it's all been a huge adjustment.
What did your family think, like, when you told them what was going on?
So initially, you know, I kind of got some, I don't have a huge family. There's been like a lot of tragedy within my family within the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, no, I'm sorry for that.
So like realistically, I don't have a whole lot left, but the family, you know, that I do have initially, they were supportive, but then as his release, they kind of started to get closer. They're like, well, we don't really know how we feel about this. And while I can understand and appreciate that, you know, well, they don't have to go to bed with him.
Yeah,
so.
You're like, I'm right. Gonna do me.
I mean,
yeah,
look,
okay,
it sounds bad. I mean, I'm not one to judge. Please don't think this is we're trying to judge you. I'm not judging. I mean, you found love in a very different way, and mm-hmm. I mean, is he doing better for himself? Because I talked to you for 2 seconds, and you already seem so sweet, and you seem like you've been through a lot, and so I want to make sure that you're okay and that he's not going to keep doing these bad things, because I would love for you to have something stable and have a great man there for you.
The stability is definitely like what my goal for life is currently, you know, and Matt and I have had many, many lengthy conversations about, I guess, expectations from one another. And he honestly... From I would probably say the fourth or fifth email in, I just felt some sort of sense of comfort from him that I'd never felt from anyone else. So he, oddly enough, you know, has made some bad choices and this and that, you know. He kind of opened a lot of doors for me. And I think we both want to do better, you know. Life is hard enough. We make mistakes, learn from them, move on, and do better every day. So, you know, where our head has been since beginning, really.
Did you feel any loss of intrigue once he got out, where it's kind of
not like question. Fun anymore?
Yeah, yeah, where maybe that was part of the initial experience and attraction and infatuation, where it's like, oh man, this is kind of exciting,
sexy.
Yeah. It was any of that lost, like once he got out?
Well, so here's the thing. I don't know, you know, what everybody's vision of prison is, but I don't think prison is sexy. Right. Any means. I've heard, right. You know, he's told me stories about taking a bird bath, and that's essentially bathing in your toilet in front of your celly, and that just does not sound attractive to me at all.
Right.
No.
You know, there's been stuff that I've learned, like he doesn't necessarily like to put laundry away. Or maybe it doesn't necessarily make it in the laundry basket, or, you know.
Honey, I think that's just a man. It's just a man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You know, my grandpa was the same way. My grandpa would leave his dirty socks in the hallway and then ask my grandma where they were to wash the machine. So, I mean, it is totally a man thing, but, you know, coming into the relationship, not spending even one night together, I hadn't even seen him tell without a shirt on. I had no idea what he was going to be like, and him, me, either, you know. So it's been a crazy ride.
I have a question for you.
We're learning a lot.
Well, that's good. The first time you guys had sex, you can technically have sex prison, right?
Like, can you
conjugal
like, can
visit?
You touch?
Conjugal, yeah.
So I guess conjugal visits are a thing that I think it's different from state to state. You have to be married for a certain amount of time before they'll let you do overnight. Physical touch was super limited. You know, we had 4 visits. And I would go, you know, sit at the prison and visit with him for between six and eight hours. But it was like, you get a 7-second, you know, embrace, whether it be a hug or a kiss, and at the beginning of the visit, and then another 7 seconds at the end. But there in between, I mean, you guys get, like, it's one hand. You can hold one hand. If you're holding 2 hands, somebody comes over and says, no, one hand, you're doing too much, or your legs are too close to his, this or that.
Wow.
I mean, I guess some people get away with more than that, but I'm too big of a chicken to even attempt it because I don't want to go to jail or prison.
Right.
No, thank you.
How old are you?
No, thank you. I'm 32.
32. Do you want kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. With him.
Yeah.
Is he the same? Is he older? Younger?
He is 29.
Get it. My husband's younger than mine too. We're cougars. I love it. Love After Lockup is on WeTV Fridays 10/9 Central. So I'm like,
I'm watching it every Friday. I'm like,
oh my gosh. Now I'm super intrigued. Like I've never watched, but now I want to watch it.
It's so weird because, I mean, it's weird for a multitude of reasons. Like the way the show came about was, I mean, it wasn't something that we, or I per se, I guess, because he couldn't really do it from prison. I didn't go seeking it out. They found us. And it's been a complete whirlwind. And, you know, Friday nights come around and I'm like, how am I watching myself on television?
Wow. Oh, I'm sure.
What is going on? Like, and some of the stuff, I'm like, oh, did I really say that? I'm going to go hide now.
And how do you deal with the negative, judgmental people that, you know, are thinking, what the hell is wrong with this lady?
People are judgmental. I mean, that's just the way society is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guilty of the same. Would I seek somebody out online to speak negatively of them without ever having a conversation with them? No, absolutely not. My thing on the negativity, like, obviously I know that it's going to be there. People are going to have opinions, but let them have them. Again, I'm only concerned with who I'm going to bed with at night. And really, like, you know, let's embrace positivity. Life is hard enough as it is without, you know, people talking.
Yeah.
Let's be nice and let's all get along and just help each other do better.
Well, I mean, I love that outlook. So, I mean, I'm rooting for you guys.
As long as you're happy. That's,
yeah, as long
that's
as you're
matters.
Happy, that's all that matters. And yeah, dang, girl.
I mean, being happy and like being good to one another, and I don't mean your significant other, I mean people in general, you know, be good to one another. And life gets easier, I swear, or it should.
Well, Caitlin, love you, and best of luck to you and Matt. And I'm super intrigued, so I'm definitely going to be watching Love After Lockup. So thank you for coming on our show. We really appreciate it.
This was so fun. Thank you guys so much.
Caitlin.
Bye, Caitlin. Bye. Guys, I really didn't know what to say because I was super uncomfortable with because I
have so many questions.
Well, no,
I didn't want to like
because I didn't because when Amy first told me about this idea. I was like, man, what the hell's wrong with her? She's crazy. I was saying all these things. But then when she's talking, she sounded so nice where I was like, I felt bad for being so judgmental. And then who am I to freaking judge anybody?
I know. But like, are you ever scared? Like, I wanted to be like, do you get scared when you go to sleep? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It was possession. It was
possession
just like
and
a gun.
Arrest.
What does that mean?
It could be weapon or could be drug related.
Isn't that what Robert Downey Jr. went to prison for?
He went to prison?
And I would marry him. I mean, I
but I feel
married,
like once you're in, like, you know, like there's like got to be some like he's seen some SH.
Well, like, yeah. I how mean, do you, finding I be, someone in prison, I mean, again, even having the idea, she found Matt in prison, to me, that's just so insane and so crazy. And she's got to have the craziest messed up life. But then when she's talking, it's like, again, who the hell are we to judge? Very who the hell are we? And for everyone listening right now, probably thinks like that girl's crazy. Who the hell are we to judge? I have nothing to say because I'm like, I mean, look at our situation. Look at their situation.
People thought you were crazy.
I know.
Her relationship is moving faster than mine.
People think you two are crazy for coming on a podcast and arguing with each other.
I know. Yeah. And
that's how we roll.
Back after infidelity, and you're crazy for staying with a man for 6 years. And you know,
I will say people are obsessed with Love After Lockup.
Well, now I'm really like intrigued.
I am really intrigued.
People are watching it like crazy.
But I feel bad now for judging her because she sounds so sweet. She has no family. I'm like, God, I was that troll.
No, but judging her. Maybe it's like kind of one of those, like as she was saying that, I don't know.
So Robert Downey Jr. did go to prison. Jail or prison? I don't know the difference.
Prison is like no joke.
Right. Yeah. He was jail in prison is no for joke possession, either. Same as this guy. So everybody does deserve a second chance because look at what he's done.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy that I was married to that went to prison for the things that he did to me, I remember he found a girl in prison. And at first I was like, who would ever want to date him? He's awful. But if people change and people grow, I mean, clearly he didn't because he ended up, you know, repeating patterns. But it's just, you know.
Steve Avery had like multiple girlfriends.
And wait,
making
what?
A murder.
Oh, he's had, yes.
I speak like I know him. No, he's had like tons of fiancés,
well,
girlfriends.
Same with Dirty John.
Yes.
Oh, Dirty John.
Well, there's something about...
Oh, I know. I need to watch this.
Oh, you have
me all
I
about
can't.
That.
Oh, it's so good.
Do you think it's something about the individual, whether it's male or female, the non-con, where something in their life, some kind of traumatic event where they need like... They feel like they're the answer for somebody who needs help, right? There's something... I make up that there's something deeper in there.
In their fourth email, she had never like felt the way she... Like whatever they were, she was like, I had felt
maybe
some
because
way that
because
felt.
He was relying on her, like he was feeling safe and comfortable, like she needed to feel needed, essentially, you know. So maybe that validates certain things in somebody that makes you feel and fall in love.
Yeah, and then kind of what you said too. I thought that'd be interesting. That appeal, like, ooh, this is dangerous and scary. That sounds sexy, but
no, I'm like straight. I would be in fear.
Well, I mean, Ty is like, I mean, he's straight out of a freaking
like Ralph
Ted
Lauren.
Baker, Laurel.
But like, no, I just feel like that would be very scary.
Yeah.
Not that he would hurt you, but like, what if he was like, yeah, like, you know, I did some things.
I mean, murder is a whole different thing.
No, I mean, in prison.
But if you're a drug person, whether you're possessing drugs, you know some bad people. Yeah, and who knows what you owe those bad people. Or who people want to come and talk to you. I mean, it's scary.
You know, they can like kill people from prison.
All right, well, we're going to make things prettier. Oh, my God. You know what they don't have in prison? Function of beauty. They don't have good shampoo, and they don't have good conditioner. But we do, okay? So, people in jail don't know this frustration, but I sure do. Bottles on bottles piling up in your bathroom, each one falsely promising a miracle solution. I feel like my shampoo and conditioners are just filled with chemicals and do nothing for my hair. But no, seriously, that's why I'm very thankful for Function of Beauty shampoo and conditioner, because not only do they customize what I need for my hair, they also customize the bottle and they make it look really cute. So in our Nashville home, we're going to have, you know, you do know that, right, Mike? We're going to have
yeah, we'll get on that in a second too. Go ahead.
Oh, are we fighting again? I don't want to fight anymore. Function of Beauty addresses all your hair concerns by being totally customizable, like I said. So whatever your hair goals are, it's amazing. You name your formula. Our products are so personalized. Your name is even printed on the bottle. So in Jolie's room, her shampoo and conditioner is going to say Jolie.
And the pantry door is going to say pantry. It's going to be a great place to live.
I love you, Mark.
It's going to be a beautiful home.
Very, very limited. The Function of Beauty never uses sulfates, parabens, phthalates, mineral oils, or any other harmful ingredients. It's also vegan and cruelty-free. I received mine, and it's amazing. Mike has his, too, for the bald man. Kidding.
Do you use shampoo, Mike?
Yes. Every now and then, you're supposed to.
Really?
You're exfoliating?
Well, don't touch my Function of Beauty. My listeners will receive 20% off your... I used your razor, by the way. I know you hate that. My listeners will receive 20% off your first... And you know down there. For your first custom formula to claim. Go to functionofbeauty.com now and take the quick 2-minute hair profile quiz to design your 100% unique shampoo and conditioner formulas. Use code Jana at checkout for 20% off your first order at functionofbeauty.com. Again, use the code Jana at checkout for 20% off your first order at functionofbeauty.com.
Yeah, well, I used your quick brush and rub my butt.
Do you really shave?
My, down there?
You don't wax?
Dude, no, it hurts.
You shave?
Yeah. Oh. The only time I wax is when I was pregnant because I couldn't reach down there and it hurts.
No.
No, no way. I shave all the way and I shave with his razors. And every time he always goes, did you use my razor? And I go, no. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. Do we have an email, Mark?
Actually, this is a pretty juicy one, if you don't mind, if you have time. From Anonymous, those are always the best ones. My husband and I have been having the same argument for about 8 years because he is a very sexual person. He wants it all day, every day. Even when I was young, I was never really crazy about sex, and if I wasn't in the mood, he would watch porn and handle it himself. At first, I didn't care.
No pun intended. handle it.
I'll actually give that one to you. That was good.
At first, I didn't care. I was tired or pregnant or sleep-deprived, but then I started having issues with it. Why did he want to look at other naked women? What was wrong with me? I am making a huge effort, and I'm trying new stuff out of my comfort zone. But my question is, how do you feel about it from the man and woman perspective? Am I being ridiculous?
I'll start. You're not being ridiculous. You have to figure out what's right for you in your marriage. And it's, for me, I feel like I'm not pretty enough or good enough, knowing that my husband is doing that with other to a screen, and I don't think it's okay. I think it's cheating, and that is my stance on it. Sarah.
Yes, same. I'm just gonna say same.
Does Ty watch porn?
No.
Have you Google searched his history?
Yeah, in the beginning.
He did in the beginning?
No, I mean, like, I listen, let me make it very clear. The only thing I'm searching for right now is one thing and one thing only. The only thing I'm typing into his computer, by the way, which I got from Tanya, she was like, no, you know, you have to like get on his phone and get places and then it'll just pop up. Like you just start Googling things and they pop up.
Because Big Brother's, yeah, it's going to show up.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm not looking for anything other than like HarryWinston.com.
Harry Winston.
Damn. Michael?
Yeah, I mean, what Jana said, it depends on your marriage. If it works in yours, fine. If it doesn't, then talk to him about it. But I mean, the fact that she said he wanted sex all the time and she was never really crazy about sex, it's like, well, you know, if she's not going to give it to him and that's something that she, you know, they've talked about and it's okay, then okay. But looks like she's trying now. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a discussion. You got to find out what works for you.
It doesn't bother me at all because did you guys read 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
No.
Like that's like the girl version of that.
Yeah. No.
So you're kind
it's
of
not
like,
my thing.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you watch
Magic Mike.
Something
nope,
like that.
Not my
yeah,
thing.
I mean, like a
male strippers.
Cheesy
not my thing.
But like, it doesn't bother me. It's fine. Who cares?
So anonymous. It bothers some. It doesn't bother others.
You got to find out why it bothers you. And what
there's multiple issues here. One is that he wants it more than she does, and then the second
what
is
guy
the
doesn't.
Thing.
Well, my husband.
Oh no.
Ladies,
that's all our time. We'll see you next week on Wind Down.
Wait, we didn't do the thank you.
We gotta thank people, Mike.
Thank you.
I like to thank my wife because she does all the work.
Oh Jesus! Here we go again. Thank you to OpenFit. Get full access to OpenFit. All the workouts, nutrition information, totally free. Just text Jana 303030. ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address: ZipRecruiter.com/Jana. Go to getquip.com/Jana right now. You can get your first free refill pack for free.
Hold on, honey. I'll pull my weight. Function of Beauty, thank Jesus. You. Use your code Jana at checkout for 20% off your first order at functionofbeauty.com. Thank you to Monty's Good Burger featuring
artisanal, honey. Artisanal?
Artisanal.
Artisanal.
And thank you to Monty's Good Burger for featuring artisanal.
Artisanal.
Whatever. Burgers. They're really good. Monty's Good Burger is great. It's a hamburger that anyone can enjoy. Experience Monty's Good Burger at Monty's in Koreatown and Riverside or visit Monty'sGoodBurger.com. Bye.
Plant-based and delicious.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was fun.
That was funny.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.